God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today is considered the last Sunday of the church year, and you probably already know the church year operates a little bit differently than our calendar year, because we're not even in December yet. And during the end of the church year, we like to focus on a couple major themes. One is the last day. And we all have questions. What is the last day going to be like? What's heaven going to be like? What is the, quote, judgment going to be like? What's life going to be like in heaven above? And I'm not going to give you any of those answers because I probably have the same and similar questions. But we're going to be focusing our thoughts towards our Old Testament reading for today. Because in that Old Testament reading, the prophet Isaiah gives us a special glimmer of hope about what Christ has done for us. Our text is actually going to be based off of just one verse. Okay, I'm going to throw in a few other verses here and there. But picking up Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17. Isaiah writes for us, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind." This is our text. So we have to begin with our current world because we're finding out from Isaiah we're going to have a new world. So a little bit of comparison and contrast. So as we look around us, what do we see? We may see a lot of the things of this earth we would rather forget. You know, things like crime, things like violence, war, disease, sadness, depression, misery, heartache. Maybe your life is filled with other travesties that you would just rather forget about. Maybe it was a bad breakup, the sadness of a loved one dying, a lost friendship, or maybe that project at work just seemed to fail. And you're just thinking to yourselves, let me just put it all behind me. Let me just get rid of it all. But what happens? Our mind likes to recall the past, especially the embarrassing past, the painful past. And we're like, when will I ever be done with it? When will I be done with all the pain and misery? Well, the prophet Isaiah preached that there will be one day where there will be now a new heaven and a new earth. And guess what? The former things will be forgotten. So if you're looking for that day when you don't have to recall those painful events, where you don't have to live those painful events, the words from Isaiah should be ringing in your ears. But some of us might be sitting there thinking, but wait a minute, Pastor, before you go down this road too far, what about some of the good things that we have lived through? The good times of this world. You know, like the Cubs finally winning the World Series after 108 years. Come on. Or what about the joy that we have with various relationships of friends and family? I mean, do Christians just only think about the next world and not of this world? And the answer to that is no, as Christians, we do remember this life. We don't forsake everything for the life that is yet to come. The answer is we do care. And this is the life in which Christ has given us here and now. It's a life in which we hear the good news of Christ and him crucified, him risen from the dead, a life in which we live in love and service to those around us. Yet we also know that this world will eventually pass away, as Isaiah is reminding us, and the rest of Scripture also tells us. So, with the Lord's own words, we trust that he is going to make all things new. But we might be feeling the tension. Yeah, there's some bad things of this earth, but yet there's some good things. But yet there's something yet to come will I forget about the good things here on the earth? Because we feel that tension as Isaiah's words, the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But before we get hung up on those former things, we need to realize a little bit more and dive deeper into the fulfillment of Isaiah 65, verse 17. And so let me just kind of illustrate for a moment, since I kind of alluded to it earlier. What about some of the things we would like to forget, like when I forgot to take out the trash? Yes, there are some things in this life we would like to forget about. So let's dive into Isaiah for a moment and see the comfort that Christ Jesus brings to us, which is much more and greater than just getting a pass for forgetting to take out the trash. So we start with Christ. Why start with Christ? Well, okay, we're in a Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod congregation. Every sermon should start with Christ, amen. But we have to remember it was Christ who began it all. He's the one who says he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth, which begs the question, why? Well, there has to be a new heaven and a new earth. Why? Because the current earth got ruined. Because paradise that Christ had made for us was ruined with death. And so it is no longer paradise. Once Adam and Eve were in a perfect relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but then death and sin separated Adam and Eve from Christ, which didn't just ruin Adam and Eve. No, it ruined all of Christ's creation. So Christ has a couple of options here. He could really scrap this whole humanity and earth project and toss it away and start over again, or, you know the answer, he could redeem it. He could fix it. He could make it perfect again. So the path that Christ chooses is the redemption part, the fixing of the problem, the restoring of the relationship between humanity and God. And so the first step in this new heaven and new earth is to overcome death. So Christ takes on our flesh and blood. Christ suffers and dies. And then Christ rises from the dead. Christ takes the sin which separates us from God and brings death. And Christ destroys its power. Christ defeats death. Because sin, which results in death, is what separates us from Christ. So Christ goes at the one thing necessary to restore that broken relationship between humanity and himself. That is sin and death. Isaiah actually even notes this in the chapter before our text from Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. Isaiah writes, "We have all become like one who is unclean, and our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade away like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away." Not that I want to improve upon Holy Scripture, because nothing can really do that. It is God's Word. But let me just add a few extra words to Isaiah for clarity's sake. Picking up Isaiah, "For our iniquities like the wind take us away," if I may add, "from Christ." Because what is the greatest evil of this age? Let's not point to any calamity. Let's not point to any person. But instead, let's look at ourselves and our sin, because sin separates us from Christ. If Christ is the life of the world and something separates us from that life, then that is the greatest evil. But if you think of the calamities of the age, let's just pick for one particular moment Christ and his innocent death. That wasn't a bad thing, but it's actually a good thing. Through his death and resurrection, we have life and salvation. No, the greatest evil, so to speak, the greatest thing that we need to be aware of is sin, which separates us from Christ Jesus. So Christ, through his death and resurrection, removes all that sin. And as Micah notes in chapter 7, verse 19, Christ will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. He will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. All that would separate us from Christ, Christ removes from us through his atoning death. And now that Christ has done this, now that he has defeated death, what does that mean for us? It means, I guess there are still times I forget to take out the trash. I guess we have to realize that while we're still stained with sin, we still will struggle with sin. And so Isaiah covers that also in Isaiah chapter 65 when he writes at the beginning, and here God is speaking, I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name. I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people. By the way, that's us. Who walked in a way that is not good, following their own devices, a people who provoked me to my face continually. So even after Jesus dies on the cross, rises from the dead, forgives us our sins, our sinful nature wants to rush back into sin, back into that separation from Christ, provoking Christ continually, as Isaiah puts it. And so God here now has the stage set for part two of this new heavens and the new earth. The former is directly connected to our sins. The former shall not come to mind or be remembered, as Isaiah reminds us. It is this rebelling action against Christ that Isaiah is then saying, that part won't be remembered. That part will be forgotten because it'll be cast into the depths of the sea, so to speak, as Micah reminds us. Or as the psalmist reminds us in chapter 25, verse 7, remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. And so Christ does come to us because we cannot go to him. So this is that second step, that Christ not only creates that new heavens and that new earth, but then he also comes to us to do what? To do a little bit of that renewing. He's going to restore us so that when we're in that new heaven and the new earth, there will not be any more stain of sin. But until that time comes, Christ is still here with us now to strengthen us. Because like our gospel reading for today reminds us of the 10 virgins, 5 of them were foolish. They didn't bring the oil. They didn't prepare. They didn't put their trust in Christ, so to speak, using the analogy of that gospel reading, versus the 5 who did. So how does God renew us? How does God recreate us? Some of you may know, as the baptismal font is center of our sanctuary here, where when Christ puts his name upon us through the waters of a holy baptism, something special happens. A miracle happens. God reconnects to us. His name is upon us. Our sins are forgiven, and we now belong to him. And as Titus chapter 3, verse 5 reminds us, he saved us not because of our own works done by us in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Christ is creating that new heavens and new earth, and even working within us here and now. And so faith receives and trusts these words, realizing that the Holy Spirit is constantly there for us, constantly renewing us, constantly strengthening us. Why? Because as Mark chapter 16:16 reminds us, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Because that's what we need, as the end of our gospel reading for today says, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. So to help us endure, Christ gives us his word and his supper. Because as the gospel reading reminds us, not everyone will endure with Christ to the end. You see, our sinful human nature is indeed strong and wants to remain attached to sins and detached from Christ. That's why our mind keeps on wanting to bring up those past painful events in our lives. That human nature doesn't want to let it go. And so we need Christ to continue to come while we wait for that last day when we have that final healing. We need Christ to continue to strengthen us, and he does through his word and sacraments. So Christ continues to give us his word. And that word is proclaimed faithfully, like through pastors like Pastor Mummy and other pastors who are dedicated to Christ's word. And then as you gather at the rail, again, you're receiving Christ's own body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. That, yes, faith trusts these promises of God. That at the last day, we know that Christ will indeed raise us up. That the former things will not be remembered, for we are attached to Christ because his name is upon us through holy baptism. A little bit later on in Isaiah, in our gospel, in our Old Testament reading, Isaiah notes, but be glad and rejoice in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy and her people to be a gladness. So as we look around, we do see a world that is filled with a lot of bad things. But we rejoice, knowing that, yes, our sins are forgiven. We rejoice, knowing that Christ does indeed continue to renew us through his Holy Spirit. We rejoice as we gather around Christ through his word and sacrament, which reminds us that all has been fulfilled in Christ, and the Holy Spirit keeps us through his word and sacraments so that we will be with Christ forever and ever. St. Paul reminds us of this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me to safety into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We continue by confessing the Christian faith.